North End and Kolel, shiur given on Tehillim chapter 16. This is the sixth shiur in the series, Chelek Vav, and we're having a look at chapter 16, Pasuk Ches. And the shiur has been given on Sunday Yud Aleph Iyar, Tovshin Ayin, which is the 25th of April 2010. And of course, we'll give the shiur Le'ilu Nishmas, beloved Rabbi Cooper, Rav David, Marina Rav, Rav David, Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was Nifta last Shabbos, which was Kavvov Nissan Toshin Ayin. And I hope I'll be able to quote him a bit in this year as well. So, Shabbos a week ago, which was Kavvov Nissan Toshin Ayin. Okay. Yeah, so we're on chapter Tezayin, Pasuk Ches. Shivisi Hashem Memeti Somed. Just after that. Yeah. Shivisi Hashem Memeti Somed. I place Hashem before me constantly. Kimimini, because from my right, Bal Emot, I will not falter, or I will not slip, or I will not fall.
Why are you translating
Shivisi
like that?
Oh, Shivisi means to put something. We'll see another translation as well.
But the shul, isn't
it? It is, right at the Omer. Absolutely at the Omer. Shivisi Hashem Lenin to Summit. Many shuls have that. Shivisi Hashem Lenin to Summit. I place Hashem before me constantly. That's the translation of Shivisi. You find it with respect to Paro, Velo Shos Libo Gam Lozos. And I didn't jot down the pasuk. It's either Va'ira or Bo. V'leshos libo gam lozos. He didn't put his heart to this. Or you have it as well with when Yaakov gave the brachas. Vayoshes. Pasuk Vayoshes. Oh, I can't remember now. But you have. It means to put. I think it might be in that bracha. It's our pasuk. Shivisi Hashem. I put Hashem lenegdi opposite me, somed constantly. Ki mimini balemot. Now, what exactly does ki mimini mean? Ki, because mimini, he is at my right hand side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at my right hand side. Mimini, he's on my right hand side, and therefore balemot, I will not slip, I will not falter. That's the translation given by many, many svarim, many translations. So I place Hashem before me all the time. Ki mimini, because he is on my right hand side, and therefore balemot, I will not slip. I will not falter. Being on one's right hand side means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is all the time he's going to support me, therefore he stands on my right hand side. Okay, so Rashi explains, what does it mean? He says, I put the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of me all the time. I'm constantly aware of needing to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is that? Key, because Mimini, he's on my right hand side. So the cause and the effect here are that because Hashem is on my right hand side, therefore I have him before me all the time. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me constantly, therefore I have him in my mind the whole time. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somed. So Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somed is the effect, and Kimimini is the cause. That's how Rashi learns it. He stands on my right hand side, and that causes me to think about him all the time.
As opposed to the left hand side?
No, not opposed to the left hand. Not as opposed to the left hand side. As opposed to a pshat given by the Metzudas David, which is the exact opposite. The Metzudas David learns that the cause and the effect is the other way around. He learns that I'm thinking about him all the time. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somed. He seems to learn this word key with me, something like therefore. Therefore, Mimini. Therefore, he sticks with me on my right hand side. Yeah, maybe we'll see a bit still about that on the right.
Why specifically the right?
Hopefully we'll get to that. I'm not sure that we will, but we'll try. Yeah, but the cause and the effect here. Rashi learns that he's on my right hand side, and therefore I think about him all the time. The Metzudas David learns the exact opposite. I think about him all the time, and therefore he stays with me to support me, standing on my right hand side. Yeah? That's how the Metzudas David learns. Another kasha brought by another pshat brought by Rashi.
It's like this: Hashem is your, was it your? Like you look in the mirror.
Very good. Absolutely.
Yeah, he will be there.
That's brought by a few mafreshim, and I didn't. I looked into it a little bit, not a lot, but that some learn that because he's negdi, he's opposite to me. Yeah. My right is his left. My left is his right, which is why when we step back for a shalom, we bow to the left first, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. That is brought by the Yalkut Me'amaleis.
My right hand side, because Hashem envelops a person.
Yes, of course. Meloch Haloretz Kavedo. Hashem is everywhere all the time. Yeah.
To choose the left from the right when everything is one.
Okay, I'll say a pshat on that, especially Jonathan asked it, you're asking it, so I'll say a pshat on that, and it's a pshat I heard from Rabbi Cooper. There is a pasuk in Zechariah, let me get the pasuk here, Pasukin Zechariah, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, where the Pasuk says, "V'ha'satan omed al yemino l'sitno." The Satan stood on his right hand side, and I don't really understand the parashia, who's what it's actually talking about. V'ha'satan omed al yemino l'sitno, in order to perform his satanic deeds. That is, the Satan stands on a person's right hand side. That's the Pasuk. It's in Zechariah, Pek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Now, Rabbi Cooper asked me a kasha. Rabbi Cooper, years ago, he asked me his kasha, and he brought it in the name of, I think it was in the name of Dan Abramsky, who said, we say in Mariv, V'haser Satan milfoneinu me'acharenu, remove the Satan from in front of us and from behind us. So that contradicts this pasuk. According to this pasuk, the Satan stands on our right hand side, and according to the tefillah, the Satan is milfoneinu, is in front of us, and is me'acharenu behind us. So Rabbi Cooper said, I can't get used to saying Rabbi Cooper Zeches Halu Bracha. It's taking a lot of getting used to. Rabbi Cooper said that the Satan follows a person round, constantly standing on his right hand side, and he follows a person throughout his whole day, waiting for an opportunity. If the person is about to do a mitzvah, then the Satan moves in front to block his path. That's Milafaninu. And if he's about to do an Avira, then the Satan goes behind and gives him a push, gives him a shtup in order to push him into doing the Avira. So he's in all three places. He's on our right, and he's in front when we're trying to do mitzvah, and he's behind when we're about to do an Avira. So that resolves the problem with the Pasuk and what we say in Davening.
Not on the left,
yeah. Maybe because a person's right hand is normally stronger than the left hand, and therefore he's there, I don't know, chanting.
Maybe and it's to stop you being righteous. The left is in the Gemara, severity. Yeah. And that is what's the Satan is all about. You're pushed over, to push you over to the left. So he's always at the right hand side to push you over there.
Yeah, that could be. We'll come on to the left and right maybe a bit later.
The end of Shemot Esrei. Aseleman Shemecha, Aseleman Yiminecha.
Aseleman Yiminecha, yes,
right. Hashem Yiminecha, it's twice.
The right hand takes precedence. Yeah, it's strong, strength, yeah. And I'm left-handed.
So I mean, after you've done the mitzvah, the Sultan tries to tell you you shouldn't have done it.
Very good.
Again, maybe he's trying to say, don't do it again.
Yeah.
This
mitzvah. Maybe that's why Kimimini Hakosh Baruch Hu is on our right hand side. Maybe to counterbalance the actions of the Satan. If the Satan's on our right, so Hakosh Baruch Hu also stands on our right in order to give us some degree of protection. Of course, that's one of the reasons why. That's why when you blow the shofar, we hold the shofar on the right hand side of the mouth, because one of the reasons is Kedei La'aviv Es HaSatan, to confuse the Satan that maybe it's Mashiach that's coming now, and that's the Shofar Shel Mashiach. So one of the reasons is to confuse the Satan, and therefore we blow the Shofar, holding the Shofar on the right hand side, because that's because of our Satan Omi Dal Yemino Lisitno. Okay. Alright, another pshat in this idea of Shigis Hashem Lenegdi Samid Kimi Mini, he's on my right hand side. So Rashi explains, another pshat brought by Rashi is that David HaMelech here is referring to a Sefer Torah. Why Sefer Torah? We have a pasuk in Pasha Shoftim where we're told that the Melech has a special mitzvah to write a separate Sefer Torah. The pasuk is in Shoftim, it's in chapter Yud Zayin, and it's pasuk Yud Ches. Vayon, it shall be Cheshiv Torah Kisei Mamlachto, when he sits on his royal throne. Vachosav Lo, he shall write for himself Es Mishnei HaTorah Hazos Al Sefer. He should write down this Sefer Torah. He should write down the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses this pasuk. What is exactly does it mean? He's got to write down his Mishnei HaTorah Zos. So the first opinion in the Gemara is that the words Mishnei HaTorah actually refer to a change in the writing style of a Sefer Torah. That is, the Sefer Torah was originally given to us in the times of Moshe with a particular script, a particular early script, which later, at the time of Ezra, changed into what we call Kesav Ashuris, which is the Sefer Torah writing as we know it, you know, with all the little extras and the shapes of the Aleph Beis as we know it. But that is called Kesav Ashuris, and apparently it's a handwriting style that came from Ashur. From the place from Ashur. And that was
the way it's written now.
The way the Sefer is written out, that's right. The letters, the alphabet that we use is Kesav Ashuris. But that is not the same alphabet that the Torah was given with. Absolutely. That an Aleph is written differently and a Beis is written differently in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Pasuk here in Shoftim says, he shall write Es Mishnei HaTorah. And the word Mishnei, it's comes from the same notion as shinui, a change. Now, as Moshe was foretelling, when in the Torah, when this mitzvah is given, the Torah is foretelling the fact that the writing style of a Sefer Torah will be different at some stage. Es Mishnei HaTorah. That is the first opinion given in the Gemara, and that is argued in the Gemara by Reb Shimon ben Elazar. You find this Gemara, it's in Sanhedrin Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, quite near the top. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, no, the Torah's writing never ever changed. It was given in Kesav Ashuris to Moshe, and that handwriting has never changed, and we still use that same handwriting style today.
So we don't still have the difference in the Arabic.
We do have them. We have them. They're hidden away. We do have them, and they will. They'll come back to us.
They'll solve the question.
Yeah. So according to Shimon Alozo, Mishnei HaTorah does not refer to a change. Mishnei, a shinui, a change in the handwriting style. What does Shimon Alozo do with this pasuk? It's Mishnei HaTorah. So he learns that it means that a king has a chiyuv to write a second Sefer Torah. That is, he will have his own Sefer Torah tome, and in his Beis Ganozov, as the Gemara puts it, he'll have the Sefer Torah in the top. Let's, I'll give this, see if I can just find this for you. L'shtei Toros. The pasuk refers to two Sefer Torah of a king. Achas sheyotzeis v'nichneses imo, one that goes out with him and comes in with him, and obviously carries it with him all the time. But achas and another one shemunachas lo beveis ganozav, that is put at home in his storehouse. It's hidden away or it's kept safely at home in his safe. Oso sheyotzeis v'nichneses imo, the Sefer Torah that he uses to go in and come out with. Ose osa, he would make it kamin komia. Like a komia, which is sometimes translated as a little charm, like a small thing that he has, can carry with him, lightweight, very small Sefer Torah, v'sole bizroo, and he carries it with it, he ties it onto his arm, and that's his right arm. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, no surprises, Shivis Hashem and Edi Samid. I keep the Hashem with me all the time, opposite me all the time. Ki Mimini is on my right hand side. I keep the Sefer Torah with me on my right hand side all the time. That's how Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar learns it.
So he has two. Any Jew has one.
Well, he'll have two. That's right. And in fact, the king especially should have two. One at home and one that he carries with him all the time. And it's a very small, lightweight sefer, portable sefer, and it's tied onto his arm. And the Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchos Malachim. I looked it up. The Rambam's got this halacha. He carries it with him all the time. Of course, he can't take it with him if he goes into a toilet or a bathroom or a mikveh or anything like that. He can't go in with him there. But otherwise, it's with him constantly. Oh. Then the Gemara says, what about the Idach? What about the first opinion in the Gemara that we have these changed... how will the first opinion in the Gemara learn Pshat in our Pasuk Shvi'is Hashem L'Negdei Samech? The first opinion learns that Mishnei HaTorah, the Pasuk in Shoftim, refers to the change in handwriting. And therefore he doesn't learn about this second Sefer Torah, Mishnei HaTorah, second Sefer Torah. So what, because of the Pasuk, Shivis HaShem Emeh, to someone Kimi Mini, the Sefer Torah has got to be on the king's right-hand side. So how will that first opinion interpret our Pasuk, Shivis HaShem Emeh, to Samit? So the Gemara explains, Hai Shivisi, my Dorish Bey, what will that first opinion, how will he understand the Pasuk, Shivis HaShem? It says, Hahumi Boile, Kedarav Chono Bar Bizna. He interprets our pasuk like Rav Chana bar Bizna. To Omar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Rav Chana bar Bizna explained, Omar Rav Shem Chassida, the name Rav Shem Chassida, Hamispalel, a person who davens, Tzorich Sheyire Atzmo, it is necessary that he views himself, Ke'ilu, as if Shechino Kenegdo, as if the Shechino, the presence of Hashem, is right opposite him. When he comes, Shenema, as the pasuk says, Shivisa Hashem Emekzi Somit, Shivisa Hashem, Hashem is right opposite me. So when you daven, that's how you're meant to view yourself. You view yourself, imagine yourself, so you're standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence himself. So that's two interpretations of our pasuk as brought in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Kaf Beis Samad Aleph. Oh. So, and Rashi on our pasuk brings it in, as well. That the pshat in our pasuk is Shivis Hashem LeMegdei Samit. That David HaMelech, who was a melech, being a king, he was subject to this halacha. This halacha is brought by Rav Shimon. The law says he's got to have a second Sefer Torah. And where's that Sefer Torah? It's Miyamini. It's on his right hand. It's on his right hand side. And therefore, he's aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence the whole time.
From these shapes, there happened to be a change. This is the world was created from the other face. So how can there be a change?
How can there be a change in the letters of the Torah? I don't know. That's a tough one. I can't answer that. Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah.
Oh. Maybe spiritual reason behind it.
Another pshat on Kimi Mini. Shvi'is Hashem L'Negdei Samit. I view Hashem as right opposite me. Kimi Mini, because it's from my right hand side. But we're referring here to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand side. Why? Because you have a pasuk. It's in the beginning of Zos HaBracha, chapter Lamed Gimel, pasuk Beis. Vayomar, Moshe said to Klal Yisrael, Hashem mis Sinai bo, Hashem came from Sinai, v'zarach miseir lomo, and he shone to them from Seir, v'fiyah mihar paron, he appeared from Har Paron, v'osami reverse kodesh, I can't remember what that means, and now we have the key phrase, mimino, from his right hand side, eish dos lomo, he presented to them, eish dos, a fiery law. That is, the Torah is considered Eish Dos as a fiery law, and it was presented to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand. So that's Mimini. Of course, David puts his Mimini on my right, but it can refer to the Torah and being given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu using his right hand. Why did Hashem use his right hand to give us the Torah? Because giving it to us with his right hand, which is metaphorically, of course, his stronger hand, it's as though it's an absolute matana. I'm giving this to you, and I'm not going to ask for this back. I'm giving it to you with my right hand, a decided matana. Whereas if you were to give it with his left hand, it's like it seems a little bit reluctant. I'm giving it, presenting you something with my left hand. It seems a little bit more reluctant. Incidentally, we learn halachas from this pasuk. The Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Samech Beis Samad Aleph, the Gemara asks the question, Mipnei Ma, let me get you to show you the pasuk, Mipnei Ma in Mekanchin Biyamin. halachas about going to the toilet. When a person goes to the toilet and he needs to clean himself, needs to wipe himself, the Gemara goes into this detail of halacha, which hand should you use to clean yourself? And the Gemara says, from where do we know, mipnei ma, from where do we know to ein mekanchem yamin, that you can't clean yourself using your right hand? And the Gemara brings many, many answers to this question. And the Gemara answers in the first of Rava, you should rather use your left hand to wipe yourself. Omer Rava says, Rava mipnei, because HaTorah nitzna b'yamin, because the Torah was given with Hashem's right hand. Shene'emar, mimino eshtal salamo, the Pesachim says a bracha. He gave it with his right hand. So it's not covered for us to use our right hand to wipe ourselves after going to the toilet. And the Gemara brings different reasons for it. And of course, the various reasons make a difference as to whether a person is left-handed or not. Halachically, we pass on I'm left-handed. Person is left-handed, he should actually clean himself with his right hand. Another reason is because Gemara brings lots of reasons. You use your right hand to eat with, because it's your right hand, it's your stronger hand, so you put food in your mouth using your right hand. So again, it's not hygienic, or certainly not covered to use the same hand to clean yourself in the toilet. Another reason is, most people are right-handed, so they put tefillin onto their left arm, and their tefillin are tied onto the left arm using the right hand. So you don't wipe yourself with that right hand. Of course, a left-handed person puts tefillin onto his right arm using his left hand, so he should not clean himself with his left hand, but rather use his right hand. Anyway, that's just a halacha, what we learn from Mimino Eshtos Lomu. Okay, let's move on. The Ibn Ezra. Let me quote you a piece of Ibn Ezra on this pasuk. A very moving piece of Ibn Ezra. I find it particularly moving in the time that we have now, just having finished the Shiva for Rabbi Cooper. Says the Ibn Ezra, Shivisi, I'll read this out to you. Ha Eitza the Hamusar Heviyuhu Losum Hashem Menegdo. David HaMelech is bringing this pasuk as a musa, as a lesson to us, to place Hashem opposite himself, the person, Hashem's presence opposite himself, Yom HaVelayla, both day and night, V'hine, and behold, Nishmosu Devukah Bevora'ah, his neshama, if he's constantly aware of Hashem, then his neshama will be stuck to his borei, will cleave to his creator, Terem Hafrada Me'al Kiviyasa, before the neshama is separated from his guf, i.e. before a person passes away, his neshama will already be stuck to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uva avur sheshivisi Hashem enegdi, and because I place Hashem opposite me, I'm aware of him, therefore mimini lo emot, sheyosur mehaderech hayashara. I will not leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu's straight and narrow path, mimini lo emot, Mimini, he's next to me on my right hand side, therefore lo emet, I won't stray from his path, i.e. sheyasem edech, I show that he may stray off the straight and narrow path. There's got a beautiful lashon there.
If he said by me, I will not
Absolutely. Yeah. But this lashon is beautiful. Yeah. If a person places Hashem's presence before him constantly day and night, then his neshama will be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even during his lifetime. That meant after his death, when the neshama and the guf part company, and then the neshama has a closeness to Hashem. But even during his lifetime, he'll have a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His neshama will have a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me show you a piece of Medrash Shechetov. Medrash Shechetov says, has a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel on how you're meant to express yourself when you make a bracha. When you make a bracha, according to Rav, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. According to Shmuel, you don't address HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second person. You don't say, Baruch Atah Hashem. You say, Baruch Hashem. Hashem is blessed, which is the third person. Do you know the name Baruch? Mm-hmm. You know the word Baruch? Thought you might. Yeah. So, according to Rav, according to Rav, you address Hashem in the second person, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. According to Shmuel, you don't have the right to do that. You have a right to address Hashem in the third person, Baruch Hashem. So you'd make a bracha, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Nei B'Dvarim, yeah? Baruch Hashem, not Baruch Atah Hashem. Says the Medrash Shechetov, a proof for Rav, who says Baruch Atah Hashem, is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, this pasuk. Hashem is right opposite me, and he's right opposite me all the time, so I can talk directly to him because he's right opposite me. Baruch Atah Hashem. Yeah, that's how he lands it. That's how Medrash HaKhatov lands. Then the Medrash HaKhatov says, and I found this piece very hard to understand, and Baruch Hashem, I got to eventually, and that is, Divrei Torah Miyumonim Lo LeDavid. The Medrash HaKhatov now is explaining the word Mimini. Hashem is Mimini. He's on my right hand side. Says the Medrash HaKhatov, Divrei Torah, maybe I should read it, Divrei Sorah, Miyumonim Lo LeDavid. The words of Torah were an expertise to David. Miyumon, same word as Yamin, stronger on the right hand side. In other words, the whole of the Torah was David's expertise. He was an expert in the Torah. Miyumonim Lo. In what way, says the Medrash HaKhatov, people would bring him, and this is very sad to think about, but it's an expertise in halacha, that they would bring him nepholim. Nepholim is a baby that's stillborn, or a baby that's prematurely born, or a baby that's extremely prematurely born. They would bring him this child, or this issue, which you call it, an issue that came from the mother. Why? So that he should check it. Why on earth should he check it? To see the gender of the child. Why? Because it makes a difference in halacha if the child is a boy or a girl. Why? Because min ha-Torah, if the child is a boy, then the mother is tumea for 7 days, followed by 33 days of tahara. Whereas if the child was a girl, then the mother is tumea for 14 days, followed by 66 days when she is tahara. Min ha-Torah, she'll be tahara during these periods, 33 days for a boy, 66 days for a girl, even if there's still blood coming out from her, that blood is called dam toha, she's actually tahara. Min ha-Torah. The Rabbanon were much more machmir. So, of course, it's important to know the sex of the child. Is this child a boy or a girl? Well, you can't tell. The child was a very premature child, not fully developed, and you won't know. So they brought these nephilim, these nebuch, these prematurely born children.
Look, I'm sure this is very, very small.
Very small, yeah. Very small to David, so that he should determine the sex of the child, so that he could paskin whether the mother, for how long the mother is tamei, and for how long she's going to be tahara. Yeah?
So babies.
Absolutely, yeah. So this is what we learn from this word mimini, divrei sora miyumonim lo. That he was an expert in this. How you be an expert? You've got to be a doctor. You've got to be a. So yes, he had this expertise. Why did he have this expertise? Because it was part of Torah. So he had to know it. Yeah.
He could tell me it was a boy or a girl.
Absolutely, because it was a boy or a girl. Yes. Yeah.
He would have to judge.
He would have to judge, or yeah, he'd have to pask him what to do. Yeah. Now, let me show you a piece of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says in Brachas, yeah, interesting halacha, what to do.
Because he had a shem, he's delving in Torah the whole time on David.
Yeah.
He had a shem on his right hand side, therefore he could tell when the nephilim were.
Yeah, that's all part of it. That's right.
That's the expertise, yeah. Having a shem always with him.
That's how we learn it on this word, mimini. The Torah was miyumon, miyumen, the words of Torah were miyumonim. They were an expertise to him. He was an expert in them. Yeah. Let me show you a piece of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is in Brochus, and it's in Perek Sheni, and it's on Halacha Gimel. And in the Yerushalmi, it's printed on the bottom of Tesvav Amad Aleph and the top of Tesvav Amad Beis. The Gemara is discussing what to do with your tefillin if you need to go to the toilet, or to a bathhouse, or to a mikveh. Now, you have to...
In the days when you wear it
all day. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. They, in the time when they would wore tefillin all day long. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So you're wearing tefillin all day. Not only wearing tefillin all day, but because you're wearing tefillin all day, you might not even have a proper tefillin bag. Yeah, because you're just wearing them. You need a tefillin bag. If you're wearing them all the time, you need a tefillin bag. And now it's time that the person needs to go to the toilet, or needs to go to the mikveh. What should he do? So the Gemara brings a story. So it brings a case. What do? They would put them, hiskinu, the chachamim made a takana. What should you do with the eternity? You manichim b'chorin, you leave them in a hole in the wall. There's a hole in the wall, a place in the wall. That's the wall of the Beis HaMerchatz, of the washhouse, or the toilet, or whatever it was. Just leave them, they'll be safe there, you leave them there. And then go to the toilet, and then you come back and you put them on again. Yeah? Now, but there was a problem. When a particular story took place, they changed their minds. What was the story? A horrible, horrible story of of Zonah, who stole someone's tefillin while they were there in the bathhouse. She saw them there in this place in the wall, in some nook and cranny in the wall. She took the tefillin and she stole them. Yeah, that's right. She stole them for herself. Yeah. She stole them. And then she went into the Beis HaMedrash and she made an announcement. She said, I've received these tefillin as payment for my services from someone who's here in this Beis HaMedrash. And it seemed they could recognize whose tefillin they were. And Nebuch, this man, was publicly humiliated, and it was an absolute lie. She had stolen these tefillin, and he was so humiliated and felt so terrible, he climbed up on the roof, he jumped off the roof and killed himself. So, based on that, the Chachamim said, we're not leaving the tefillin in these walls anymore. What should we do with them? Hiskinu, they made a takana. You need to go to the toilet. You know what you can do? You take them off. Sheyehei Adam Nichnas. Go into the toilet, Vehin Biyado, and hold them in your hand. Why are you in the toilet? To us, it's like staggering. Yeah? You take your tefillin, you keep them in your hand, covered up in your hands, and you go to the toilet, but guard them because we don't want such a wicked woman of this lady's ilk to get hold of the tefillin. So that was what they made a takana. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Zeira Omar, he holds, no. You can only do that on one condition. Sheyehei b'yom k'dei lelovshan. If you've still got time on that day to put them on again. So if a person who goes to the Beis HaKisei, let's say at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's got loads of time till nightfall, so you've still got time to put your tefillin on again after you come out. So then, fine, then guard your tefillin, hold them in your hand, and go into the Beis HaKisei with the tefillin in your hand. Aval bat, im ein bayom kadei leloshon, if you don't have any more time that day to wear your tefillin, and the person goes to the toilet, and it's very late in the day, and by the time he comes out of the toilet, he's not going to have time to wear tefillin anymore because it's going to be night time, or close to night time. Osir, then you may not take them. You may not hold them in your hand in the toilet. Why? Delachain, because mitzvah lo avid bone. You're not going to do a mitzvah with them anymore that day because the day's almost over. And therefore, lama humavazilon. So why on earth should you insult the tefillin by taking them into the toilet? In other words, he says taking them into the toilet is very much a bidyeved. We're not keen for you to do it. If you have to, you have to. But you can only do so if you're still going to wear the tefillin that day. If there's no more time to wear your tefillin that day, then don't take them into the toilet, leave them somewhere else, give them to someone else to look after for you. That's his halacha. Now, Maisha, that's someone's name. Maisha, maybe it's a Babylonian name or some other name based on Moshe. Maisha Barbereja Bishabe Levi Omar, this Amora said, Man to Ovad Tavaos, a person who's a good person, what should he do? Osela hen kis shel tefach, make a bag of your tefillin, approximately of one tefach in size. I'm not sure if it means one tefach by one tefach. Make a bag for them, and then for nosna na libo, wrap the tefillin into the bag, and hold the tefillin by your heart in the toilet. You've got to take them into the toilet. If you have to. But you know, a good person, he won't just hold them in his hand. He'll hold a bag in his hand, and he'll have the tefillin wrapped up in the bag. So at least there's something interposing. There's another layer interposing between the tefillin and the toilet.
It's more coveting.
Of course, much more respectful to the tefillin. Put them into a bag, and then you hold them while you're in the toilet. Hold them in your hand, in the bag, by your heart. Why by your heart? Matam, why? Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid. Because Hashem's presence is opposite me all the time. In other words, Shivisi Hashem, the tefillin here representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keep them right with you, keep them opposite you, keep them opposite your heart, holding them in your hand, in a bag, on your heart, on your chest, while you're in the toilet. That's how he learns it. Yeah? Interesting. Yeah? So learn again from this pasuk. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Malbim. So Jonathan, you asked me at the beginning, why did I translate Shivisi as I placed? Shivisi Hashem, and some of that, I place Hashem before me all the time. The Malbim has a different shot. The Malbim says the word Shivisi comes from the root Shin Vav Hei, which means to evaluate. like a shava pruta, is a value of a pruta. Shava. Shivisi Hashem, I evaluate Hashem, lemegdi, opposite me, summed all the time. Says the Malbim, what does it mean? Says the Malbim, every human being is constantly has a battle between his Yetzer Tov and his Yetzer Ra. His Yetzer HaTov tells him all the time, just follow the Torah, follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't worry about your worldly needs so much. The Yetzer Ra says, no, forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just look after your goof, just look after yourself, make sure you're well, and have a good time while you can. Yeah? Says the Malbim, Shivisi Hashem. I evaluate Hashem. I'm constantly evaluating Hashem, lenegdi, opposite my needs. I'm constantly evaluating that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, lenegdi, against what I, my goof, wants. And I have to take a decision. Do I follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, Yetzer Tov, or do I follow my ways and look after myself only? That would be my Yetzer Hara. And I'm constantly having to do this evaluation or this comparison between what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, that's Hashem, and what I want from me, that's Lenegdi. And I have to constantly evaluate that to make sure that I follow and recognize the value in following HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore following his ways. And then he says,
Lenegdi, a mixture of Is the Lenegdi a mixture of spiritual and physical, or just the needs of the goof?
Needs of my goof, for me. According to this pshat in the Malbim, Lenegdi, looking after myself, my own physical needs, and only looking after my physical needs. And he says that following the ways of Hashem are considered going towards the right, Yamin. Following the which is good and correct. Yeah, right. Whereas following my own personal needs, following my Yetzer Hara, would be considered a step towards the left, which is always considered the weaker and the less preferred way. So and that's why it says Mimini, I balemot, I won't budge, I won't move Mimini from following my right. In other words, from following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it quotes the pasuk, and the pasuk is in Koheles. Where are we in Koheles? And it's chapter Yud. Must be here. Yeah, chapter Yud, Pasuk Beis. Lev chacham liyimino, the heart of the wise man pulls him to the right. For lev kasil lismolo, and the heart of the fool pulls him lismolo to the left. So it says right is good and left is bad. And therefore, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the right, which is good, and that's the Shivisi Hashem. Lenegdi is the left, which is my own personal goof, my own physical needs, and that's to the left. And that will be considered to the left hand side. And that's why Mimini, I constantly choose to follow the right hand, the right way, towards the right, which is the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I have to tell you something which I saw in an amazing sefer, a sefer which is printed by a man called Rabbi Yeshaya Meir Silverstone, and I've quoted him a few times before. The sefer is called Korban Todah, and he wrote a sefer on Tehillim, and he lived in Washington, quite recently, I think. And he says an amazing thing. He says on this pasuk, he said it on our pasuk in Tehillim, and he quotes the same pasuk in Koheles, chapter 2, pasuk beis, Leif Chochom Yemino. The heart of the wise man pulls him to the right, but Lev Kasil, and the heart of the fool pulls him this money to the left. He says, look at the word Lev, heart. So we've got two letters, Lamed Ves. What is to the right of the Lamed? What is to the right of the base? What is to the left of the Lamed? And what is to the left of the base? So he says, turning right means going further back in the order of the Aleph Beis. That's the letters to the right of the Lamed, and the letters to the right of the Beis are the letters that immediately precede the Lamed and that precede the Beis. To the right of the word, to the right of those letters, i.e. the letters that precede the Lamed and precede the Beis. So he says, so what comes before the Lamed is Chaf. What comes before Beis? Aleph. Chaf and Aleph gives you the word Ach. Ach is in the Torah, is always darshaned by the Gemara as a miut, an exclusion. It's coming to exclude something. That's Ach. the letters lismol to the left of the word lave, i.e. the succeeding letters after the lamed and after the base? Well, after the lamed comes a mem, and after the base comes a gimel. And mem and gimel give you the word gum. Mem and gimel give you the word gum. And gum is the exact opposite of the word ach, because the word ach comes to exclude things in the Gemara. The Gemara always explains the word ach as an exclusion and explains the word gum as an inclusion. So ach and gum are opposites. So he says, what are we including and what are we excluding here? He says, ach is exclude yourself from the equation. Don't be so bothered about yourself. Concentrate on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach, be on the right of the word lave. To the right of the word lave gives you the word ach. Ach, exclude. Exclude yourself from the equation. Just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you go to the left of the word lave, it gives you the word gum, which is an inclusion. That's the wrong path. There you are including yourself in the equation of life, and you're bothering more about yourself than you are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ach, go to the right of the word lev. That's lev chacham liyamino. Is on the right hand side of lev, gives you ach, exclude yourself. The lev kesil lismolo, and the left hand side of the word lev gives you the word gam, is where you're going. It's the wrong path in life, where you'll be including yourself. And he quotes the pasuk. He quotes the pasuk
from Remes.
Yeah, beautiful remes. He quotes a pasuk in Parshas Toldos. It's in chapter Kaf Zayin, Pasukim Lamed and Lamed Aleph. It's when Yaakov comes to get the bracha from Yitzchak, and he just leaves. And the pasuk says, "By Yehi," about Yaakov, it says, "By he," and it was ach yotzo yotza. He was just leaving from Yaakov was just leaving Me'es B'nei Yitzchak Aviv from before Yitzchak his father. And what happened as he went out? The Esav Achiv Bar Mitzvah and Esav the brother came in. That's so we have the word Ach in connection with Yaakov. He's the man who excludes himself. Ha ha! Wait, next pasuk.
Can you say
the word Ach again? The word Ach. Yeah, it says by he Ach Yotso Yotso Yaakov. So the word Ach is used in connection with Yaakov. That's the exclusion. He'll exclude himself from the equation of life, only bothered about Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if you think that's a fluke, look at this. Vaya'as, now the pasuk continues now about Esav, Vaya'as gam hu matamin. And Esav had also made this delicious meal for his father, Vayavei lo'aviv, and he brought it to his father. So with Yaakov we have the word ach, and with Esav we have the word gam. So exclude yourself from the equation of life. Exclude yourself like Yaakov, don't include yourself like Esau. And it's on either side of this word lave. If you look to the right of the word lave, you're looking earlier in the Aleph, you get ach. You look to the left of the word lave, you get gum. They're including. That's an amazing. He brings this.
Why the focus on lave?
Because our pasuk says mimini,
yeah.
And the pasuk in Koheleth says lave chacham liyamino. The heart of the Chacham is on his right. And like the Malbim... That's Keheles, chapter your prospect. And the correct path in life to follow is to the right. Lev Chacham, Liyamino, Lev Kasil, the heart of the fool is Lismolo, pulls him to the left. Yeah. That's brought in the... So this Sefer Korban Todah from Yerushalayim, Meir Silverstone, brings it in the name of the Chavos Ya'ir. Yes, Chavos Ya'ir. Good. Okay. Yeah, let's move on. Yeah, now we've done that. Yeah, the Alkut Me'amnoes brings many, many pshatim in this, and I've only written down a few of them. The Alkut Me'amnoes on Shivisi Hashem and Negdes Tamid. It says Shivisi Hashem, Shivisi Hashem and Negdes Tamid. I place HaKadosh Baruch Hu before me, Tamid all the time. He says, and therefore I won't become a Baal Gaivra. Because I will become a Baal Gaivra with that, because Hashem is with me all the time. And then he says, that Hashem is on my right hand side. And he says, Hashem is on my right hand side, and I cannot forget him like I can't forget my own right hand. My own right hand, the source of my strength is on my right hand. I can't forget that, of course. And therefore, likewise, I won't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much. Tishkach imini, who made my right hand lose its strength. Wither. Lose its strength. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Tishkach, that's right. Okay.
which shows we correlating the right hand with Hashem.
Yes, yes, correct. Yeah, yes. Now, oh, now, oh, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. Oh, I'm just going to turn over the tape. Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky in his Pirush on Tehillim. Again, I have to be thankful to my son Yaakov Chaim. I'm not sure, actually, probably. Yeah, Dushinsky Hasidim, I think, in Mishnah. One of my son's rebbes in school, and I'm embarrassed to say now, I can't remember his name. Rabbi Shish, I think it was. Rabbi Shish, fantastic. No, I don't know, it could be a most wonderful rabbi to my son Yaakov Chaim in school in Beis Medrash Elyon, and he introduced him and subsequently me to the Sefer, the Pirush of Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky on Tehillim, and he writes as follows. He says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. Hashem, the word name Hashem, Yudke Vovke, is Midas Harachamim. Midas Harachamim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows good upon me, even when I'm undeserving. That's Midas Harachamim, he shows me Rachmanis. Shivisi Hashem, I place Hashem before me, Lenegdi, opposite me, it means even though I do bad deeds, Hashem goes against my bad deeds and still bestows good upon me. So, by rights, my averus should warrant punishments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he still displays his midas harachamim to me. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi is against me. Neged means against. He's against me. In other words, I do bad things and by rights Hashem should punish me. But no, he still bestows good upon me. And he explains the word lenegdi, and therefore kimimini balemot, and therefore I'm not going to budge from that which was given miyamini with Hashem's right hand. That's mimino eshdos slomo. I'm going to stick hard and fast to the Torah.
That's how you.
Despite my averus, he still shows. That's right, he still shows Rachmanis to me. Yeah. Correct. Despite my base, still shows Rachmanis to me. Yeah. Exactly right. The Chidor learns. Oh, yes. The Chidor quotes a Gemara, and the Gemara is in. He quotes it from Tomid, Lamed Bey Somad Aleph. But I brought it with, but I actually couldn't see it on the page. Maybe my eyes just missed it out. Yeah. The Gemara says, Kala Osik Batorah, whoever studies Torah, Shechinah Kenegdo, the divine presence of Hashem is opposite him. So he says, that is exactly reflected in our Pasuk. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. Hashem is opposite me all the time. Kimimini Balemot. I won't budge from the Torah. Balemot, I won't falter from that which was miyamin, from the Torah which is given with Hashem's right hand. And this Pasuk reflects that Gemara, and the Gemara reflects the Pasuk. Call it Yosef HaTorah, whoever studies the Torah, Shechinah Kenegdo, Hashem is right opposite him. So, and it reflecting our Pasuk. Hashem is right opposite me because I don't budge away from the Torah. Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch learns the word Shivisi coming from Shin Vav Hei, which means to be level or to equate. And he says, I'm going to get this right, that's what he says, Shivisi Hashem, I have a clear view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as though I'm viewing across a level terrain. So I'm viewing him across level land. And it's an absolutely clear view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the idea being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed interested in what goes on in Olam Hazeh. The Rosh Hashanah Van Hirsch has got a whole thing on this chapter that David HaMelech originally... David HaMelech originally felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so lofty that he's far removed from the mundane matters that go on in Olam Hazeh. And David then realized that was a mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of course indeed lofty, but despite being way, way above anything else in Kedusha, he still shows an active interest in every tiny thing that takes place in Olam Hazeh, and he rewards and he punishes accordingly. And he says, that's this pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somed. I can see Hashem is with me all the time, taking an active interest in what goes on in Olam Hazeh. And this word, Shivisi, he says, is like flat. Shov there is equal. It's totally flat path from it. I understood it. I hope I understood it correctly. It's like stretching out across a very flat horizon. You can see all the way to the horizon. And he says, with that, I have a very, very clear view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu right the way through I can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I feel his presence here with me on planet Earth.
So I can see him at all angles.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Straight line.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing interceding.
That's right. Now, we'll finish on this last point here. At the very beginning, we'll just finish now on this last thought. At the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch Chaim, very first siman, very first seif, first halacha, the Ramah speaks as follows. He says, he brings his pasuk, Shavisa Hashem Lenet Nisamed, right at the very beginning of halacha in Aruch Chaim. Shivisi Hashem Lenet Nisamed, and he's quoting the Rambam from Mirin Avuchim. And I got out a copy of the Meir Nevuchim, and that's as far as I got in trying to find it. I haven't looked it up in the Meir Nevuchim, but it's a quote from the Meir Nevuchim. Hu klal gadol b'Torah. This is a very important principle in the Torah, of a ma'alos ha-tzadikim, and in the exalted madriga of tzadikim, asher holchem b'fnei ha-olekim, who walk before Hashem. This pasuk Shivisi Hashem Lenet Nisamed is a key pasuk to a person's whole way in life. Why? Ki ein yeshivas ha'odom usnuosav va'asokov v'hu levado beveso ki shivaso usnuosav va'asokov v'hu lifnei melech gadol. The way a person behaves in private, in the things that he says and in the things that he does, are totally different from the way he behaves when he's in front of a king. And what he says in front of a king is quite different from what he would say at home. And what he does in front of a king is quite different from what he would do at home. When he's in front of a king, he doesn't just say whatever he wants. He doesn't just open his mouth and come out with whatever he wants. Whereas if he's with his family or his friends, his speech when he's with his chaverim and his family is quite different from when he's in the presence of a king. Therefore, kol shekein, kal v'chomer much more so, k'sheyosim ha'odam elibo, when a person puts into his mind, she'hamelech ha'godol ha'kodesh baruch hu, that ha'kodesh baruch hu, the great king, asher melech ol ha'aretz kevodo, whose glory fills the whole world, omed olav is standing by him, v'roe b'masov and sees his actions, k'mo she'nemar, as the Pasuk says, as the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, I have to quote it because otherwise I read it wrongly. He quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, and it's in chapter Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Dalet, where the Pasuk says, Im yesose ish bamistorim, can a man hide himself away in hiding places? For anilo erenu, will I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will I not see him? No, Hashem, says Hashem. Hallo es Hashemayim es Oretz Ani Mole. No, Hashem. Hashem says, but surely I fill the world and the heavens, I fill everything. Can you hide from Hashem? Of course you can't hide from Hashem. So he says, so he brings this pasuk, Imi Sose Ishbam Mistorim Vanilo Erenu, No, Hashem. When a person realizes he can't hide from Hashem, and Hashem is with him all the time, Shivisi Hashem and they do something, I put Hashem's presence in front of me all the time, Miad, immediately, Yagia Elov Hayiro. Immediately, he'll experience a fear of Hashem, the ha-hach-no'o, and he'll experience a subdued spirit before Hashem. He'll make himself into an onov. Befachad, with fear, befachad Hashem Yisbach, with fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uvushto mimenu tomid, and he'll constantly be embarrassed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a key halacha. He quotes it here, v'mon avuchim chelik gimel perek nun beis. So he said this is key to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yishivis Hashem Lenei Tisomid. Be aware of Hashem's presence the whole time. Throughout your whole life, be aware of Hashem's presence. And then you won't come so easily to do Averis. And you won't say stupid things. You won't do stupid things because you'll be living with a constant awareness that you're standing before the King. Melech Malchei Amlochim. So very interesting. The Ramah brings this at the very outset of Shulchan Aruch. This is how. This is what Shulchan Aruch is all about. Be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Now, we're almost at the punchline. Because, very interestingly, at the very end of Aruch Chaim, what I've just quoted to you is the very first halacha in Aruch Chaim. At the very last halacha in Aruch Chaim, it's Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Zayin, and it's the halachas of Purim Katan, when you have a leap year and you have an Adar Rishon. How are you meant to behave on the 14th of Adar Rishon? Does this day have any special qualities about it? And the halach is, yes, it does. We don't say tachanun, and we don't say l'dovid mizvah, yamcha, Hashem, yam tzora, and so on.
It's
Purim Katan. Purim Katan.
Because Purim is in the second Adar.
Exactly. Yeah. Purim is going to be in Adar Sheni. And we're now on Yud Dalet Adar Rishon. Yeah. Yud Dalet Adar, my son-in-law's birthday. Mm-hmm. Born on Purim. Yeah, so... and it's Brisam Chanamei Pesach. Yeah, so there we are. So he says... he brings a shaila. Should v'yesh omrim? I'll read it out. For also the hesped, you can't make a hesped on Purim Katan. The sinus, you can't fast on Purim Katan. Other basha ardavim inogim behem. Other things don't apply on this day. So no tachnun. It's a day of a certain degree of simcha. V'yesh omrim. Some say that after hesped the sinus mitorim. But yes, you can make a hesped and you can have a fast on Purim Katan. Hagor says the Ramah. The minag is like the first opinion, i.e. don't make a talis, don't make a hesped on Purim Katan. Yeshomim, some say, shechayev laharbis b'mishte, that on Purim Katan you have a chiyuv to make a special su'uda. It's not Purim. Purim is going to be in 1 month hence. But it's still make a special su'uda. V'simcha, make a special
su'uda.
Pardon?
Shadow of Purim.
What a nice expression. Shadow of Purim. Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it says, Yeshem Shechayim Harbis B'mishte B'simcha B'yud Dalish B'Adarish. And some say you should have a Su'udah and a Simcha on Purim Katan. But then he says, Ve'in Nergim Kin, but we don't have such a minhag. And then he says, Mikom Mokom, nevertheless, Yirbe Katsas B'Su'udah. Make a little extra Su'udah. On Purim Katan. Why? In order to fulfill the opinion of those who are machmir, who say you should make a su'udah on Purim Katan. So he says, you know what? You don't really have to, but make a su'udah, make a yarbe katzas b'su'udah, make a small su'udah. And then it quotes a posuk in Mishle. And the posuk is in Mishle, chapter Tesvav, posuk Tesvav. And the posuk reads, Kol yimei oni ro'im. All the days of a poor man are bad. V'tov lev, but a person with a good heart, mishte somid, has constant mishte, constant celebratory meals. What's pshat in the pasuk? Pshat in the pasuk, before we come back to the remark, what's pshat in the pasuk is we're not talking about really about a poor man, we're not necessarily talking about someone with a good heart. It means someone, how does a person view someone else's privileges or someone else's wealth? Someone who views with jealousy someone else, he's called here an oni. Kolime oni, the poor, he says, I'm the poor person, and look at him, he's so wealthy and he's really enjoying life to the full, but nebuch me. Such a person's life, all his days are rotten, because he's a miserable fellow, and I have a miserable existence. But the converse, for tov lev, someone who's good-hearted, someone who's generous-spirited towards someone else's benefits, mishte somid, he lives his whole life, tomid, constantly, as though he's having one great big party. In other words, he enjoys someone else's celebrations, and he celebrates with someone else's simcha, and he feels good, he's tov lev, he feels good about someone else's goodness. Oh, that's it, yeah. And he celebrates with someone else's simcha, loving him like he might love himself. So for him, mishteh somid, he'll have a very happy life. And it's a mishteh as though he's having a party, somid, all the time.
He rejoices at somebody else's good fortune.
Thank you. That was the expression I was looking for. Yeah. Say it again.
He rejoices in somebody else's good fortune.
Thank you very much. I couldn't put it better. Yeah. Rejoices in someone else's good fortune. Exactly. Now, the remark. There's no, he's not at all jealous. He's not jealous of someone else's good fortune. On the contrary, he's delighted with someone else's good fortune. Oh, so, now, this is how the remark finishes. And he says, make a small su'uda. A small extra suda on Purim Katan, in order to fulfill the opinion of those who are strict, who say, yes, you should make a suda on Purim Katan. And then he quotes this pasuk, v'tov lev mishteh somid, and someone who's good-spirited and good-hearted, he'll live life as though he's having a mishteh all the time. And those are his closing words. V'tov lev mishteh somid. Now, what is interesting is brought by the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef, which is by the Chidor. And he says, look how the Ramah starts Arachayim, and look how he finishes Arachayim. He starts Arachayim by telling us we have to be constantly aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and he quotes the Pasuk, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid. And look how he finishes Arachayim. He quotes a beautiful pasuk in Mishneh, V'tov lev mishteh somid. The same word, tomid. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi somid, and V'tov lev mishteh somid. Two things you're meant to do constantly. Constantly be aware of Hashem's presence, and constantly rejoice, what was your expression? In someone else's good fortune. Yeah? So these are two things. And says the Birkei Yosef, we have Shnei Samidim. The Korban Tomid is brought twice a day. Yeah? Morning, a lamb in the morning and the lamb in the afternoon. The first Korban of the day and the last Korban of the day. Shnei Samidim Kehilchosam. He says, Shnei Samidim Kehilchosam. These halachas in Arachayim start with Somid and finish with Somid. He says, the Shnei Samidim Kehilchosam. These are the two Tomidim which we have to keep with us all the time in order to keep halacha properly. Be aware of Hashem's presence constantly and constantly rejoice in someone else's good fortune.
Is that the end of Tomid?
It's right. Yes, yeah, it's right at the beginning of the halachas of Arachayim.
Shivisi Hashem
Lekdi Somit. And right at the end of Arachayim, in the halachas of Rukotan. Yes, the Tovlei of Yid Mishteh Somit. He says, so the Birkei Yosef says, this is the Shnei Somit in Kilchosom. And when I looked this up, I found in my Mishnah Berurah a letter, and the letter is written to me by my good friend, Reb Lezer Halpern, who's a very big Talmud Chacham, lives in Manchester, and he had written this book to me. He wrote it to me probably 30 years ago, and he wrote this, and he wrote this Devar Torah to me. Shnei Samidim Kilchasam.
When you do an Aveira, you're like taking the king's head and dripping it in filth, in a privy of filth, and you have Rachmanus of what they're doing to this king. You're degrading him to so much, pushing him down into this privy, that you'd be ashamed to do anything which is wrong. That is Kabisi. It's before you, all the time, you are a part of Hashem. Think of who you are, where you come, where you're going. Hashem is a part of you. So if you arouse this pity for the neshama within you, you wouldn't do anything about it.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, you wouldn't. If you're aware of Hashem's presence all the time, it's part of you. Yeah. Can I add to that?
Your neshama.
Yeah. Let me add to you.
It's from Hashem. Like everything in the world, the inanimate object has a neshama. It has a life force within it. Even a stone, everything's written, nothing would exist for a moment if it wasn't for Hashem. All the time you can't separate you from Hashem, yourself from Hashem. And you can have pity on the state in which you've taken that the head of the king and put him into the privy of course.
Let me add to that, if I may, Shkoch. Let me add to that something from Rabbi Cooper's Zichutzadik Lebracha. I sat next to Rabbi Cooper at Jeremy's wedding.
My brother.
Your brother Jeremy.
Jeremy said to me last week, he said he officiated at my bar mitzvah.
Absolutely.
Jeremy's bar mitzvah.
Yeah, yeah.
He said Jeremy's engagement.
Yes.
And he said he was at Jeremy's wedding.
Jeremy's wedding. I sat next to Rabbi Cooper at Jeremy's wedding.
Yeah.
And this is what Rabbi Cooper said to me. We had so many interesting discussions that evening.
Yeah,
we had many, many discussions at the wedding on a whole host of subjects.
Yes.
One of the things he said to me
really
took me by surprise. He said to me that when he was younger, he was very keen on the music of Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the symphonies of Beethoven are, he said, no doubt about it, the symphonies of Beethoven are totally spiritual. And he said it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was given, and Beethoven was the vehicle for such beautiful music to come to the world. And he said, how does it work? He said, everybody has some of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within him. This is exactly as you said, Louis. Everyone has something of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within him. The question is, how does it come out? He said, with Beethoven, it came out with his music. With us, it has to come out through our Turin, through our mitzvahs, and through good midas. He said, with Beethoven, it came out through his music, which is why Beethoven's music is so exquisite and heavenly. Then Rabbi Cooper added to that, he said, but that left the rest of Beethoven as a pretty obnoxious individual, which he was. It's well recorded. He had a terrific cast. He was a very angry man. We can excuse him, maybe. We can excuse him his anger. He was a man of frustration. He went deaf, and music was his life, and then he went deaf. I shall hear in heaven were his last words. Yeah, he shook his fist, that's it. Yeah, he shook his fist. Because he felt... Yes, yes. He was a man of anger. He was a man of anger. But we can understand that anger and that frustration. But he was a man of anger, very bad manners. He had a very slovenly life. He lived a very slovenly existence, dirt. And it was very messy. If you look at the music of Beethoven, if you look at a manuscript of Beethoven, you'll see it's... I've seen it, because when I worked at Sotheby's, we sold a few of them, and I saw them firsthand. And they crossed out... He would write, and then you cross it out very messily. His handwriting is appalling. Compare that with the musical notation of Mozart, which is very, very neat, and hardly any crossing out, because he organized the whole melody and harmony in his mind before he put pen to paper. Beethoven had a very slovenly existence, a very messy man, and a very angry man, and a man of very bad midas. Rabbi Cooper said to me, what was in him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu came out in his music, leaving the rest of him a very bad person. Whereas really, what should come out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should come out from us, are our midas tovas. And because that's, we could choose, you know, you can either go for the music, or you can go for the midas tovas. You know, that was how he put it.